कुंज बिहारी। कुंज बिहारी राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी। गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी। यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे। राम राम हरे हरे। राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधे। गौरांगताय शिष्य गौरांगताय गौरांगताय शिष्य गौरांगताय। जय प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद जय श्रील प्रभुपाद जय गुरुदेव जय गुरुदेव गुरुदेव जय गुरुदेव जय श्रील गुरुदेव कलियुग पावन हरि नाम संकीर्तन की निरंतरात श्रीमद्भागवतम की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की कलियुग पावन हरि नाम संकीर्तन की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ओम अज्ञान तमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम दिस मॉर्निंग फ्रॉम थर्ड कैंटो 28th चैप्टर टेक्स्ट नंबर 30. The one on the board is 30th verse, right? Yeah. I think it doesn't have a purport, so we have two verses for today. Anyonyashleshayottunga Nirantarapayodharam सुनासाम सुद्विजं स्निग्ध हासलीलावलोकनाम అన్యోన్యశ్లేషయోత్తుంగ నిరంతరపయోధరాం సునాసాం సుద్విజాం స్నిగ్ధ హాసలీలావలోకనాం అన్యోన్యశ్లేషయోత్తుంగ నిరంతరపయోధరాం సునాసాం సుద్విజాం స్నిగ్ధ హాసలీలావలోకనాం నిరంతరపయోధరాం అన్యోన్యశ్లేషయోత్తుంగ నిరంతరపయోధరాం Vaishnavis, anyonya to each other, shleshaya because of clinging, uttunga raised, nirantara without intervening space, payahadharam breath, sunasam shapely nose, sudvijam beautiful teeth, snigdha lovely, hasa, smile, leela avalokanam, sportful glance. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, her breasts projected upward because of their clinging to each other and they were too contiguous to admit any intervening space. She had a shapely nose and beautiful teeth. A lovely smile played on her lips and she cast a sportful glance at the asuras. Guhantim vridayatmanam nilalakavaruthinim upalabhyasuradharma sarve sammamuhu striyam. Adorned with dark tresses, she hid herself as it were out of shyness. Upon seeing that girl, the asuras were all infatuated with an appetite for sex. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The difference between demons and demigods is that a beautiful woman very easily attracts the minds of demons, but she cannot attract the mind of a godly person. A godly person is full of knowledge, and a demoniac person is full of ignorance. Just as a child is attracted by a beautiful doll, similarly a demon who is less intelligent and full of ignorance is attracted by material beauty and an appetite for sex. The godly person knows that this nicely dressed and ornamented attraction of high breasts, high hips, beautiful nose and fair complexion is maya. All the beauty a woman can display is only a combination of flesh and blood. Sri Shankaracharya has advised all persons not to be attracted by the interaction of flesh and blood. They should be attracted by the real beauty in spiritual life. The real beauty is Krishna and Radha. One who is attracted by the beauty of Radha and Krishna cannot be attracted by the false beauty of this material world. That is the difference between a demon and a godly person or devotee. So when Brahma gave up his body it was gliding down the sky. At that time, some of the demons looked at this form which was coming down, and they were bewildered. The twilight evening, cloudy sky had a particular type of formation which is described in these verses. It appeared, the reddish sun appeared like a ball with which this girl was playing. And the clouds which were formed in the sky, those clouds actually appeared like her body and the different parts of her body. And the sun rays which were all scattering in different directions were appearing like her, like the colorful dress on her body, and also the dark clouds appeared like her tresses. Tresses means the black hair. So the whole formation of this apparently attractive body that is being described here is simply something insubstantial. But the demons were mad after seeing this. It was somewhat like, imagine somebody is holding ice cream in the hand and you see the shadow of the ice cream on the wall. Imagine somebody is trying to capture that shadow on the wall. You try to eat it. Like that only. It was something like that. It was a shadowy type of reflection. It was not actually a true form of woman also. But they're imagining too much, the demons. And they were trying to chase after that. Actually, when I read this verse, 30th verse, which is on the board, one another verse came to my mind immediately. Snigdha pravrit ghanashyamam sarva saundarya sangraham charuvayata chaturbahum sujata ruchirananam. And then what he says? Sujata ruchirananam. And then sudvijam sukapolasyam sundara bru sunasikam. And then sundara bru sunasikam. And samakarana vibhushanam. There is one more before that. Padma patra palashaksham. Sundara bru sunasikam. And then sudvijam sukapolasyam samakarana vibhushanam. See there, how very minute description is given by Lord Shiva in the Rudra Gita about the beauty of Lord Krishna. It says, Snigdha Pravrit Ghanashyama means Lord Krishna has a glistening bluish complexion. Like a glistening blue, glossy blue. Ghanashyama. Sarva Saundarya Sangraham. He is the sum total of all beauty, he says. Charu Ayata Chaturbahum. He has four hands. In which he is holding the Shankha Chakra, Gada Padma and everything. And then he is saying, he has a Sundara Bru, means his eyes are having a beautiful eyebrow, like an arched bow. And he has a raised nose. Here also talk of raised nose is there. Lord Jagannath has raised nose. He has a raised nose. And his teeth are like a series of jasmine buds. What is the color of the teeth? They are not white, they are pinkish because of the splendor of the lips. And also, the Lord is wearing a Makara Kundal, and which is glowing very beautifully on the cheeks. It is seen on the cheeks because cheeks are like a mirror. So when the Makara Kundal is moving, the cheeks are shining also. And the Lord has also beautiful forehead, which is like a crescent moon. And in this way, and he has curly locks of hair, very beautiful hair. In the in the Kapila's section, there is one beautiful verse. He says about this dark curly locks of hair. Yachiniketamalibhi parisevyamanam bhutya svaya kutila kuntala vrinda jushtam meenadvayashayam adikshapadabjanetram Dhyayen manomayam atandrita ullasadbhru. In this verse he says that the curly locks of hair on the Lord's head are compared to a swarm of bumblebees who are hovering over a beautiful rose lotus. pinkish lotus in a pond. The lotus is compared to Lord's face. So if you see Lord Krishna or Vishnu's face, surrounded by the blackish hair, it's like the swarm of bumblebees. It's a very beautiful analogy. And there are two fishes which are compared to his eyes, which are always moving very beautifully. So he says such a combination of the two fishes and lotus and swarm of bumblebees would be put to shame in front of the Lord's face, beauty of the Lord's face, like that he says. So in this way, and there are descriptions about the spiritual form of the Lord. And what we are hearing here is the description of the Maya form of the woman in this particular verse here. So in this way, in the Shastras, you can find a comparison of, the Maya's display of illusory beauty. And opposed to that, Lord's eternal, permanent, everlasting beauty. So both are placed in front of us to make a choice. What we want to be attracted. Once His Holiness Jayadutta Swami Maharaj was telling, one brahmachari changed his ashram after 8-10 years of staying in the ashram. And he met Maharaj and he said, Maharaj, there was only one thing that disturbed my mind very much. He said, when I saw that particular girl's feet, you know, they were so tender, you know, I got lost. I got bewildered and I decided to marry her. So Maharaj said, I was shocked. Even by looking at the feet of a woman, you can get attracted. Looking at the tender feet of a woman also. Lord also has a lotus feet, by the way. So, a woman can put some mehendi, you know, mehendi in her feet, in nice decorations and wear a nupur, you know. And one may become attracted to that feet. Then one has to surrender to that feet, isn't it? Whichever feet you are attracted to. So, on the other hand, if you are attracted to the lotus feet of the Lord, you can serve Him. Life after life after life. Eternally we can serve Him. We have the chance. So, one thing is very clear. The attractions that are mentioned here, Srila Prabhupada uncompromisingly elaborates the nature of illusion in his purports. If you read the Puranjana Upakhyan, in one of the purports, Prabhupada explains that in a young boy and a young girl, when they look at each other, they become attracted, they become mad for each other. Then they try to come close to each other. In 11th canto, in one of the purports, he says there are pre-sexual preparations. Like, for example, the entertainments like music, entertainments like movies or novels. So these are all preparations. Just like you take appetizer before food. These are like appetizers. And then he is saying there are amusements, like there is amusement parks, there are resorts, there are restaurants, or there are shopping malls. So generally these are the places you will find a boy, girl, they roam around for buying some things from the shopping malls, they go to restaurants, they go to resorts, amusement parks. Or they may hear, nowadays you find everybody with the earphone and hearing some music. They watch Hollywood, Bollywood movies. And then in this way they prepare themselves for sex life. And then when they get close, Prabhupada explains, what is there in the sex life? There is attraction to touch each other's body because of the restless mind. Because this mutual attraction between a boy and a girl leads them to embracing, kissing and touching all the impure parts of the body. So Prabhupada writes there, you will find this phenomenon is there in every species of life. Even a he cockroach is moving his mustache, a she cockroach is mad, seeing his mustache when he's moving. And you take your jadu and just throw him out of the door, isn't it? Along with his mustache is gone, isn't it? So, when Rabindranath Tagore, one of the famous poets, he wrote a poem in Gitanjali. In one of the poems, he said the topmost representation of God's creation and beauty in His creation is a woman, he wrote. And Prabhupada read it, he laughed. He said, this shows how small-minded he is. he couldn't see anything greater than this. And then Prabhupada said, even a dog can say that the she-dog is the most beautiful. And a cockroach can say cockroachini is the most beautiful, isn't it? Share can say Sharini is the most beautiful. Similarly, Rabindranath Tagore is saying woman is the most beautiful. Like that Prabhupada said. Because he doesn't know anything greater than that. And then Prabhupada says, when it comes to God, he is saying, Tumi, who is that Tumi? Tell me, Prabhupada is asking. Nowhere in Gitanjali written by Rabindranath Tagore you will find Tumi is Krishna. You will not find that. Because that Tumi he doesn't know, ultimately he lands up with the Tumi of woman only. Prahlad Maharaj says that the target of demons is woman. He says, exploiting and enjoying woman is the target of demons. You will see that. Prahlad Maharaj, when he is talking to his demoniac friends, the strong attraction that a male has for a woman, for touching her body, exploiting and enjoying, that tendency comes from demoniac tendency actually. That tendency itself is very demoniac. Prahlad is condemning it. Similarly, you find in different sections of Srimad Bhagavatam, this attraction between the male and female. Actually, if we don't have enjoying mentality, if we only have serving mentality, then we don't have to scientifically analyze Maya. There is no need. Like recently I was reading that when a devotee is offering worship to Lord Radha, Shri Radha and Krishna, he has to offer them very costly outfits. He has to offer them very opulent bhoga, you know, and what all to be offered. Very elaborate list is given. As far as possible is written. We should offer all these things. And then he says, but if a pure devotee is offering to Krishna, whatever a pure devotee may be able to offer, even little water, Lord will accept, he says. And then the reason is given for this. What is the reason? A neophyte devotee always thinks, I am the enjoyer and I am the controller. With that approach, if we have to curb it, then he has to offer to Lord very great enjoyments like the bhoga and the dresses and the ornaments and jewelry and everything. Very gorgeous worship he has to do. By doing that, gradually he will get the sadbuddhi that actually he seems to be the enjoyer, not me. Slowly that buddhi will come. But a pure devotee never considers himself an enjoyer or the controller. He considers himself, not only he considers everything belongs to Krishna, he feels even I belong to Krishna also. Even I am not independent, I am simply Krishna's servant. So then Krishna says, you offer anything, you are already my man only. You know, and even if you offer a little water, that you are doing it out of your loving exchange, that's good enough, he says. So in this way, this is actually the root problem. The propensity of considering oneself as the enjoyer and the pivot of all existence and wanting to enjoy and exploit the material resources by lording it over the material nature. When we have this crypt, then we will have problem with a woman. Otherwise, we have no problem. The problem with a woman is only possible if you have this type of script. Script of that enjoying mentality. Woman cannot be blamed because women, they may not even know how much the man is mad after them. They may be doing their activities. But a man feels the type of, because of the wrong type of outlook that Jiva has, when he sees the woman, just like these demons are trying to get make some sense out of some shadowy body which is left behind by Brahma. They are chasing after that, completely mad. So this type of madness is not possible without Jiva having a certain type of qualification. The qualification of struggling to be the enjoyer and controller. So because in general the Jiva is acting in the role of an enjoyer, struggling to be an enjoyer, one should do vimarshanam. Vimarshanam actually means one should do contemplation and evaluation to understand what is vastava vastu and what is avastava vastu. Vastava vastu means actual and original, imperishable truth. And avastava vastu means it looks like a substance, but there is no substance. it is perishable, temporary, illusory, miserable truth. So one has to distinguish between this true, between these two. And further, one has to contemplate, like the jnanis do the neti-neti process. As bhaktas, are we supposed to scientifically understand how maya is illusory and misery-producing and temporary? Some people say all this analysis is not important. We don't have to struggle to know about the behavior of our mind. We just simply depend on Krishna, chant his names. Of course, we can depend on Krishna if we can depend. We cannot depend. That's why we have to analyze. If we can only easily depend, so easily. If you are so innocent and uncomplicated, it would be very easy. In one of the chapters in the 11th canto, we were reading that when a brahmachari lives in the ashrama of the guru, right from 5 years of age, his life is very simple and pure. He begs the alms and brings to guru and gives it to him. Whatever guru gives, only he eats. And he doesn't accept more than what guru gives him. If guru doesn't order him to eat, he doesn't eat also. He wears deer skin, and he wears very simple dress, straw belt, carries a kamandalu in the hand. He lives a very, very simple life. Cleaning the ashram of guru, worshipping the Lord, worshipping the sun, studying the Vedas. Life is very, very simple and pure in connection to God. But in case such a brahmachari, after taking training for several years, if he sees that he still has material desires, they are not getting cleared even by continued shravanam. Because intense shravanam from the Shastra is actually the method of sharpening the sword of knowledge. Actually, yat anudhyasina yukta karma granti nibandhanam chindanti ko vidastasya kona kuryat katharathim. So in this verse, he says that when we have heard the Shastra very well, then the dhyan will come. Dhyan and the remembrance of the Supreme Lord. When that comes, that is like a sharp sword. Yadhyanudhyasina, asina, he says. Karma granti nibandhanam. It can cut all the karma granti. But in case a brahmachari finds that the material desires are lurking and they are not perishing, they are not going away. A question people ask always, should one give shape to those material desires in the heart by acting them out? Or should a person still perform some severe austerities swadhyay, shastric study, and services by which one can destroy those material desires? Actually, either one can be done. The second one, which you said about purifying the material desires, is very much possible. But if a brahmachari sees that he doesn't have that degree of sincerity required for destroying the material desires, in terms of strictly adhering to Guru's instructions alone. Sometimes if one finds like that, then one actually wants to switch over to another ashram where one can give shape to the material desires. But if one is not very attentive to follow the regulations given in that particular ashram, see, he goes from one ashram to another ashram. Both are called ashram. The word ashram comes from ashray. That means he is going from, it's like going from Krishna's right feet to Krishna's left feet. Both are Krishna's shelter only. He is not leaving Krishna. But if somebody doesn't follow the shelter that is available in Grihastha Ashram, it is said that one may, instead of making the divine couple, Shri Radha and Krishna, as the center of his life, he may make the woman and children and home and job and money making as the center of his life. Then one becomes like a grihamedi, as we say. Such a grihamedi, due to very intimate association with opposite sex, with the mentality of enjoying. Because of that mentality of enjoying and intimate association with opposite sex, he becomes very duplicitous. And he becomes offensive to Guru. He commits sins. In this way, he becomes very degraded in his life, it is said. On the other hand, those who are accepting proper grihastha ashrama, if man and woman have not come together for enjoying, but for Guru's service, then they make very great progress. Because they are not looking at teacher, they are looking at divine couple, Radha and Krishna. They are lotus feet, how we can serve, which is very rare actually. Generally in this world, people come together for finding out some happiness through each other in this world. But those who are living in the ashram, brahmacharis, they have to be very attentive to avoid wrong contemplation, to avoid wrong type of absorption, attraction for the opposite sex. And that is why this vimarshanam or this contemplation is explained. That somebody may ask, one time one man asked Srila Radhana Swami Maharaj in Chopati, Maharaj, why such dirty things are given Bhagavatam? And not only that, you are all sannyasis and all. How do you people speak it? This appears obscene. You know, these such things are not heard in the public places anywhere. Nobody will dare to speak them. There are some brahmachari preachers also, when they read verses like this, they will skip and run to the next one. You know, they are a little afraid. It looks a little allergic. Like, you know, we had this liquid beauty story in the session 5 of our Discover Yourself course. So one brahmachari said, I am very allergic to this story. I feel uneasy to tell this story. Can I tell some other story, he was asking. So some people feel allergic, but the shastras don't feel allergic in telling the truth. If you see, in the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Agni, Dara and Purvachiti. Purvachiti's body is very delicately described. Top to bottom, everything is described. And this Agnidara is describing her. It is explained. So why should a sacred scripture, which is supposed to awaken holy feelings in our hearts, should describe such kind of things? Actually, what is Srimad Bhagavatam doing, we may not even understand. Actually, because we accept Bhagavatam is Sakshat Krishna, it is non-different from Krishna. When we hear such descriptions, whatever descriptions are being given, that is also part of Krishna's energy only. The Purvachiti's beauty, you cannot deny it. It's a beauty, but it is a mayaic beauty. But opposite of Maya's beauty is Krishna's beauty, which is spiritual beauty. So when one sees Maya in relation to Krishna, and one is able to see this is display of Krishna's illusory energy, when that description is read, gradually, one will come to a stage, even as a brahmacharya or as a sannyasi, you have already heard all description. You don't have to see the body of woman anymore. Because you already heard it, and you know it is temporary also. It is temporary, it is misery producing, it is illusory. And you have seen it, there is no, Bhagavatam gives such so much detail, there is nothing more to be known about a woman beyond that. There is nothing more to be known. Sarvamevam vijnatam bhavati. Without having to undergo the personal and practical experience, simply by hearing, you can. It's just like sometimes a doctor increases a pus in your body, you know, by giving some medicine, and then he will remove it. That's what Bhagavatam also does. Sometimes when somebody reads such sections, they may get agitated, and they may get more agitation. Then one may not read the section further. But if one is sincerely approaching Srimad Bhagavatam, even by reading those descriptions, whatever anarthas are there in our heart will all be rounded up and they all will be cut off and thrown off eventually. Because one, after reading Bhagavatam, I can tell you my personal experience, when I read such sections of Bhagavatam and then when I go in the road, when a beautiful woman comes, what comes to my mind is she is not as beautiful as what is described in Bhagavatam. There is much inferior quality. You can see that. So, in this way, Bhagavatam's description acts as a medicine. So, if you scientifically analyze, only foolish, mundane poets, they glorify the womanly beauty as the ultimate, as we heard about Rabindranath Tagore. They say that you know, there is nectar in the lips of a woman or a mouth of a woman. It is not nectar, it is sputum. It is saliva. Isn't it just saliva? I am talking scientifically. We are not talking shastrically. We are talking. Take a woman's body and study it. You will see that what is coming out of her mouth is not nectar. You know, do you think any woman has the innate ability to store honey in her mouth? Maybe if she drinks a little honey from a honey bottle, she can spit it out. But otherwise, in the mouth, whatever is in your mouth only is in her mouth also. There's nothing new there. Similarly, here there is talk about the breasts of woman. What is the breast made up of? He says, our Shankaracharya. Nari stanabarana bhidesham drishtvamaga mohavesham etam mamsava sadivikara manasi vichinta yavaram varam. He's telling, generally, a woman who is approached by a man, or any man who looks at a woman's beauty, he looks at her face, then he is attracted by the breast. Why? Because the Maya has put a spell on the breast of a woman. So you will find wherever Maya Devi puts a spell, that is where the conditioned soul will be attracted to. If Maya Devi has put a spell in woman's hands, all women will be wearing gloves in her hand, and man will want to open the gloves and see what is in the hand. If Maya has put a spell on woman's feet, then they all will be wearing socks in the feet, and you will want to open the socks and see how the leg looks like. Wherever she has put a spell, that is where our attraction will go. Because she has put a spell in a woman's body, in certain places they are more attractive than others. And then he's saying, yetam mamsava sadivikara. This is all a transformation of flesh and blood. If you put a woman's body under electron microscope, and see, you will find it's all atoms and molecules floating. No man will want to enjoy the body of a woman if you see under a microscope. It's all only atoms and molecules floating. But because we are seeing at a certain scale of observation, we imagine it to be something very attractive. Isn't it? Just like, for example, you know this Journey Home book, when it was launched, they make a big book right now on the stage, and they open the first page. So it appears that it contains hundreds of pages. Correct, no? But only one page is made for display. But from a distance, so this is called experience, we call it. We experience it to be like a big book. But although it is actually inside, it is not, there are no other pages. Similarly, when our eyes see, they imagine something more than what is actually present there. Once a grihastha devotee came and from Chaupati temple, he shared with me something which was very enlightening. He said, he was, of course, he used to meet Parampuja Rana Swami Maharaj and one-to-one associate with him. In those days when Maharaj used to give easy access to people, we got more time. So he also, one or 2 years after marriage, he met Maharaj and said, Maharaj, I am losing my determination in Krishna consciousness because I am becoming attracted to my wife's body. And please tell me, give me some enlightening, tips by which I can rise above this attraction to her and engage her and myself both in Krishna's service. We can wholeheartedly engage in Krishna's service. So Maharaj said, what is that to be attracted to? Maharaj asked him. So he said, her breast. Here, talk of breast there. When it's the swollen breast of woman, I'm attracted to that. Maharaj told him, if you cut that breast and keep on a plate and somebody gives you, will you be attracted? He asked him. And he was shocked. He said, oh, definitely not. Because a lump of flesh on the plate, are you going to be attracted? He said, no. And then Maharaj told him, but you are attracted to it when it's right on the chest. You are attracted. Why? That is the spell of Maya, he told him. Same thing. There is nothing special about it. And it is not that every woman has some new detail which other women don't have. It's the same thing in every woman's body. Similarly, your body is made of Panchamahabhut. Woman's body is made of Panchamahabhut. There's nothing special. I think it's not made of 6th or 7th item, some new item. The same item only. In the same manner, the woman's body and man's body, they both emanate all kinds of foul-smelling substances from all the pores of the body and all the holes of the body. So one has to think about how this, whether it is body of a man or a woman, the material body is such a horrible body. If you don't brush your teeth one day, it will stink. And which not only others cannot tolerate, even we cannot tolerate. Even we cannot tolerate. Even we will find it difficult. Similarly, our body emanates stool and urine the smell of which even we are not able to tolerate. Once I had a interesting story of how once a guru wanted to teach a disciple to become humble. And if he wouldn't become humble, he wouldn't give him diksha. So the guru asked him, tell me who is greater than you, and when I am convinced, that time I will give you diksha. So this fellow said, Guruji, you are very greater than me. He said, Guru said, that I know, that's all right. You go and find out who else is greater. You find out and come. So this fellow went out. Problem with this man was, wherever he turned around, he would find fault with people. That was his nature. So one day he saw a rickshawala, and he thought that this rickshawala, he has these problems. He was thinking about his problems. But then rickshawala was putting a sadhu in the rickshaw and taking. So then he developed respect for rickshawala also. He went and told Guru. Guru said, you are surely progressing more than before. But this is not the ultimate answer. Find out more and come. So still time was going on. So one day morning, this fellow went past stool, and in stool he saw some worm. And a sudden realization came to him. He said, yesterday night I ate a lot of gulab jamuns, and now I am passing stool now. And in the stool, there is a worm. He saw that worm. And then he saw that it was an earthworm which was coming from the earth and which was doing something with the stool. So he went to Guruji and said, Guruji, I think this worm is greater than me. He said, Guruji asked why. He said, by association with me, this gulab jamun turned into stool. But in association with the worm, the stool is converting into manure. So who is better? So then Guruji said, today I will give you diksha today. Said, you have become more advanced now. But what I was also saying was, of course, this is a story told for him, developing humility to see every living entity to be greater than us. But we also understand that our own body produces abominable excretions which even we cannot tolerate. How can we desire another body? This body itself is enough. This body itself is such a horrible body. So, if you use, you know, mechanistic science to study the body, mechanistic science, you don't need non-mechanistic science. We will get fed up with the body by looking at the details of the body. That is why you will find, just as thieves can only exist in darkness, you switch on the light or call the police, they will run away. Similarly, illusion also can only exist in darkness. In darkness, we can only imagine that there is some enjoyment. But in daylight, you can easily see that what kind of enjoyment is that? It is an imaginary enjoyment. It is just that's why manasijam, he says, kandutivan manasijam vishaheta dhiraha. Jam means to take birth. Manasijam means this pleasure is born of the imaginative mind, nothing else. Actually, this is the main point that we should arrive at when we understand the nature of the functioning of our mind. Our mind, here these demons are imagining that they are going to get some happiness out of this smoky body of the woman, and they are going to get nothing. You will find when a man and woman come together also, as they grow older and older, beyond 50, 60, 70, 80, the body, the grapes becoming raisins. Like that, their bodies also contract, and there is no more bodily happiness. And even if they want to enjoy the bodies, they cannot enjoy. The body gradually withers away. So, but in the youthful stage, due to the passion in the body and mind, one imagines such pleasures. There is some pleasure. But if anybody enjoys these pleasures repeatedly, over a period of time, they will see that this is only a flesh and bone pleasure. His Grace Sankarsana Adhikari Prabhu used to call it as toilet pleasures, It's only toilet pleasures. It has no real, genuine pleasure in that. So, how is it manasijam? How is it imagination of the mind? I told you, see from a scientist, mechanistic scientist point of view, there is no substance. Then why are the ordinary people imagining there is something in this? That is due to that enjoying mentality. When there is an enjoying mentality, like, for example, when I was walking in roads of America, I saw this roasted geese, brown roasted geese. Similarly, there were hot dogs also. So these kind of things were hanging in the shops. How can people eat dogs? How can people eat geese? How can people eat these things? Because they put a lot of chili powder and a lot of salt powder, and they roast it and give. Anything you roast and give, people eat. Anything, even if you take stool and add salt and chili powder and roast and make nice biscuits and give, they'll be eating that. Isn't it? People don't see what substance it is. Any dirty thing. Kuch bhi chalta hai, anything goes. Chili powder and salt powder. Similarly, one has to ask, what is the stuff that I am trying to enjoy? Two animated bags rubbing with each other. What kind of enjoyment is that? There is nothing. But why this endeavor for enjoyment is there? Because Brahma has kept a pleasure substance. And that pleasure substance he kept only to increase progeny. So otherwise there will be no praja utpatti in this world. For that Brahma has kept. But these foolish people consider that this is meant for pleasure. But actually Brahma never kept it for regular pleasure. He only kept it for praja utpatti. For that purpose he has kept. You will find animals also in certain season they make sounds to unite. And they biologically unite and they produce babies and they keep quiet after that. But man is such a fool, he thinks, he doesn't understand this is meant only for procreation, but he thinks this is for recreation. And when he thinks it's for recreation, and the more he tries to enjoy, the more the spell will bind his hands and legs and tie him up very tightly. One becomes a secure prisoner, Prabhupada says, in the shackles of the maya. It's like a steel cord. If you bind somebody with a steel cord, he just cannot escape. The more one enjoys, the more one is bound by hands and legs. He becomes a complete slave. Actually, one has to, again this point of observing our mind, when we observe how by indulging in sense gratification, we become a slave of our senses. By abstaining from sense gratification and surrendering to Krishna more and more, we become Goswami gradually. We become conqueror of the senses. So otherwise, we become servant of the senses. And one who is becoming more and more servant of senses, he will not be given access to understand the workings of Maya. See, the person who can see with utmost clarity the working of Maya is who? That is Lord Himself. Vilajjamanaya yasya statum nochahate buddha. Vimohita vikattante mamaham iti durdiyaha. Like that, there is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam which says, Vilajjamanaya yasya. He says, when Maya Devi sees Krishna is looking at me, she feels very shy. Why she feels shy? She thinks that this Lord knows the different kind of jadu that I am doing on the living entities. He knows very well. How is it? Just like, sometimes a child is demanding that I want mobile of the father. He's taking a very costly mobile and mother is afraid he will break it. Then she may give that mobile type of box is there, you know, where they keep pencil and pens. She'll give him. And then she will take this mobile and keep on the top of the fridge so child cannot take it. And the foolish child takes this mobile box and thinks that this is mobile. And he is very happy with it. And he's talking also, hello, hello, he's just talking also. So can you ever use it? So when the father is seeing the mother doing it, he is very happy with the mother. Oh, you are very smart. Nicely you cheated that fellow. So that's how Krishna is looking at Maya. When Krishna sees Maya Devi doing this, and that fellow is completely bewildered, the living entity. How Maya is bewildering the jivas. So besides Krishna, there is one more person who can see Maya's actions with full clarity. That is one who is fully surrendered to Krishna. He can see that this Maya is actually Krishna's separated energy. And she is bewildering all the jivas. So he can see that this is, all the jivas are suffering actually. When Prabhupada went to America, while Prabhupada was walking in the streets, some disciples also walked with him. Whenever they would see some impure sights of men, women embracing, kissing, they would get disturbed. Sometimes they saw all this big, huge shopping malls with all these lights. chikki-chakki-chikki-chakki, you know, with a lot of lights and everything. So they would get a little disturbed by saying those things. But Prabhupada had tears in his eyes. Prabhupada said, just see how they are royally getting cheated by Maya. So a pure devotee can see that the jivas are suffering. As far as we are concerned, we are preachers. Sometimes we may preach very strongly about the nature of Maya and how we should surrender to Krishna. But we ourselves may not be able to see that the jivas are suffering. We cannot see them. Because we don't know how we are suffering first. And unless we are trying to come out of Maya fully by surrendering to Krishna, we cannot see how the other jivas are suffering. In fact, imagine as preachers, if we don't awaken our full knowledge about the workings of the material nature as Krishna teaches in the scriptures, and if we don't surrender to Krishna properly, then we may be delighting in the wrong things that we are telling people to give up. So that is a very dangerous situation. Because if people whom we are preaching to see that our eyes are also chapaladrik, chapaladrik means eyes which are restless eyes, which see wrong things, then they will wonder, how is it that you are saying this is the Maya is so horrible, but it doesn't seem to be so horrible for you, isn't it? So that is why it's very important that one surrenders to Krishna and awakens a type of taste in Krishna consciousness, a higher taste. Like in the beginning of the class today, I was telling about Lord Krishna's beauty described by Lord Shiva in Rudra Gita, isn't it? So that is spiritual beauty, that is material beauty. So the material beauty is perishable, it is temporary, it is illusory, it's misery producing. All these things are mentioned. We have heard the theory. But after hearing all these things, still the jiva is unable to give up, is unable to say no to Maya and look at only Krishna's beauty. The reason is, Krishna's beauty is far, far away. And Maya's beauty is easily available. Right now, immediately it's available for us in this world. We have easy access. But what is easily accessible is pain producing. What is far away is bliss producing. This is a very amazing thing. In this world, many dangerous things are attractive. Once my spiritual master was saying, they had gone to some farm abroad. He saw one kind of transparent blueberry. So it looked very attractive. So he plucked some, 20, 25 of them in his cloth, and he was thinking of distributing to people. So he told the organizer, he called the organizer and said, see, I while walking, I plucked these fruits. You know, will it be quenching the thirst? Can the devotees say, oh, Maharaj, these are poisonous fruits you are selling. You throw it away. You wash your hands and all you are selling. So Maharaj said he threw it away after that. Then he showed Maharaj another fruit, which was opaque fruit, which was exactly the same color. It was exactly the same size, but it was opaque type of fruit, not translucent. It didn't look very attractive. He said, Maharaj, this is edible fruit, he said. This we can distribute. Later on, Maharaj was telling that the fruit which was not currently very attractive looking, that was good for health. Whereas the transparent, translucent, very attractive, that was very poisonous. It's like your man's wife may not be as beautiful as a prostitute. Isn't it? It's like that only. So there's a prostitute type of fruit. So in the same manner, you will find in this world, things which are very dangerous are not good for us. How many of you like fried sabji you like most? Like that? Is it very wonderful? Isn't it? Like in our temple, we have a rule. Now we make it once in 15 days or so like that. But what I am saying, there are many things which are bad for us, which are not, which are dangerous for our spiritual life, but which are very attractive in this world. So, one has to know how, even if something is attractive, one has to resist the temptation, knowing what is Shreyas, what is Prayas. So will knowledge alone do? You heard the saying in Hindi, Latonka Bhuth? Bhatasiman. So some people have to get kicks, and only then they will wake up. So that is why either we get kicks or we read about the kicks in Shastra. We study about some Pururava or somebody who is getting some kicks. We can read about that. Somebody else is getting kicked, By seeing it, we develop some fear. Just like in a class also, teacher is beating the students with a stick, you know. Some students will be taking their hands like that. They're showing it. Yeah. You've seen that? So you also see, my Lord, if I don't do homework, then I will also get it. And next day you may finish the homework and bring. Correct. No? So sometimes you can see and learn. If somebody says, unfortunately, I never tasted the beating, let me also go and get it. No? Isn't it? So we can actually, the study of the Shastra, if done with great respect, respect for the Lord, respect for His message, and absorption in that message, what Lord is saying, will make a devotee obedient devotee. Obedient devotee means he doesn't go in the direction that is prohibited. The prohibited board is put and the skeleton is put. Cross with the cross also. It's a dangerous place. Don't go. So one should not go there, that side. Then there's no problem at all. The advantage of not going on the prohibited road is one will develop realizations. The realizations, this is a very amazing phenomenon it is. Shastras explain. The Shastras say, this is impure, this is bad, don't do it. You follow it. You accept that. You don't know whether it is impure, whether it is bad, you don't know. But you accept it. Just like that. Because Shastras have said it, great acharyas have said it, you accept it. And then you focus on the higher truth, give up the lower one. And you keep on focusing. Suddenly one will get a realization that this is impure, this is dirty, this is useless, this is pain-producing. Kacham vichinvan apidivya ratnam swamin kritartosmi varam neyache. Like that, Dhruva Maharaj said that because, how did he get that realization? Because he was obedient to Narada. He exactly did all the procedures that Narada taught him. He did that. And although he went with the wrong motivation, that wrong motivation became evaporated. It became volatile, it became evaporated. Similarly, our propensity for enjoyment and attraction for the opposite sex is not something which will go away overnight, because for millions of lifetimes, one has chased after this type of material enjoyment, birth after birth after birth after birth. And so they are all registered in the mind. Some of them are in subconscious mind. So those impure vibrations are there and they have to be driven out. And as here Prabhupada says, the difference between demoniac and demons and demigods is that a beautiful woman is attracted for the minds of demons and everything, he says. But it cannot attract the mind of a godly person, he says, because the godly, like you see, you must have seen this in the Tukaram's movie also, a similar pastime like what happens in Haridas Thakur's pastime happens, similar thing. Salamalo, I think he's arranging one lady to go. Go and allure Tukaram. So she is going and singing a very beautiful song on Lord Vithala. So hearing that, Tukaram is mesmerized completely. He immediately goes and takes his chapla, you know this one, no? What do you call that? Chapla. He takes that and he starts playing that and he's completely mesmerized. He's also dancing and singing, hearing that. And then when he comes close to her, where she is singing, he opens his eyes and sees. And then she's asking, how was my singing? And he says, oh, it was so beautiful. He said, it was so mesmerizing, I completely lost my external consciousness. Thank you very much for such a beautiful song that you sang. And then she says that I have actually come to be with you, to sleep with you. And then when he understood her talk, what he is saying, he came to external consciousness and he told her, you see, we are a Haridasas. We Haridasas don't get into trouble like this. This kind of things we don't do. That is not our life. And he said, when I saw you and you are singing, you appeared like Rukmini for me. Like Rukmini is glorifying Krishna. So that was his vision. Very amazing vision of Tukaram. Similarly, when you will find, even in this world, if you cultivate Sattvaguna, gradually the propensity for passionate attraction for the opposite sex will reduce. For example, in Tamil Nadu, I remember the Brahmin families, when they are looking for a girl or a boy, one of the first things they will see is whether she is a Gunavati, she is of good quality. Then they will ask, does she know some Carnatic music? Why? Because when this husband and wife get old, they become 50, 60, 70, the bodily attractions cannot be there. But at the time, if she knows Carnatic music singing, she can sing and that husband can be putting tala and he can be hearing also. And they both can have some nice exchanges. Correct, no? Similarly, does she know cooking? Does she know Bharatanatyam? Does she know singing? Is she a Gunavati? Does she have good character? So these things they will see. So when one comes to the Brahminical platform, then the passionate attraction for the opposite sex will be reduced, very much reduced. But on the other hand, those who are Shudras, for them the match is made, the match is sex match. Yoni Puratam, they call it. Yoni Puratam means sex match. That is very important. So in the lowest cadre, Tamoguna means that's topmost. And then Tamoguna and Rajoguna are the platforms in which that attraction for the opposite sex will be maximum. And that is why Srila Prabhupada has prescribed this morning program and our Brahminical type of lifestyle, by practicing which gradually that passionate and mad attraction will reduce. That, like we say, ghost haunted, we say, no? That kind of ghost hauntedness will reduce. We are all very, very fortunate to be in this blessed movement of ISKCON, because Srila Prabhupada has given us such amazing shelter in this society, where he has completely cleansed us of our old habits of watching movies, roaming with friends and watching movies, and appreciating the attraction to the opposite sexes. We have Matravat Paradareshu. We have to call every woman as a mother. Treating every woman as a mother and not watching something impure, not touching something impure. Leading a clean life, rising early in the morning, cleansing the body, and absorbing our full consciousness with such spiritual vibrations in the whole morning program. So, and morning program is a succession of power-packed spiritual programs, one after another. So, we are taking shelter of Lord Narasimha to protect our consciousness. We are taking shelter of Tulasi to get our spiritual identity in the spiritual world, to enter into the Kunja Savindavan and render service. We are doing Guru Puja, expressing our gratitude to Prabhupada, birth after birth. So, in the morning we are worshipping the spiritual master who is personally guiding us, who is the external manifestation of Super Soul. So it's a very, very powerful morning program Prabhupada made, because he has given this to protect the soul from all evils of this world, all dangers of this world. And amongst all the different type of bondages, like somebody may have attraction for a child, somebody may have attraction for money, somebody may have attraction for lands, but amongst them, the topmost attraction is attraction for opposite sex, it is said. So that is why it is very strongly mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam in many places that one should never approach a woman with an enjoying mentality. One, in our movement, in our society, if we are ever given some service in connection with a woman, there has to be a formal relationship and a respectful dealing. Of Mataji, then there is no room for any dirty dreams, bad dreams. That is why the distance is maintained in order to, that respect, if it is kept, it's very easy. As well as Bhakchar Swami Maharaj was telling, that you should see other women like you see your mother or like you see your sister, your own family members. See, when you look at your family members, female family members, you don't feel any agitation. At least you are supposed not to feel agitation. You are supposed... In the West, Prabhupada was telling you should treat everyone like a mother. They were asking, what is the meaning of that? So some people were not even aware of that, because sometimes there are wrong type of relationships like incest and all, they say. So one is supposed to see mother like a goddess. Similarly, you see your sister. Similarly, one should see a woman like that, because women are not meant to be exploited, rather worshipped and respected. But these sections teach us what is demoniac mentality and how, in case such a mentality comes in our minds, we are appreciating the body size of a woman, we are appreciating the beauty of a woman. That's a mental fall down for a brahmachari, Prabhupada says. We should see them like Lakshmi or Srimati Radharani, like that we should see. If we cannot see like that, then it's a mental fall down. At least one should not further fall down physically from mental fall down. So, but the more we purify the mind, the more such impressions will go away. And that is why there are so many pujas given, chanting given, study given, all these things. But these sections cannot be ignored or neglected, because the demonic mentality is also a part of our life which we are working on. and to get rid of the diseased mentality. So these sections have to be read and understood carefully, and not carelessly, or they are not just fun. But we have to know that from Brahma down to ant, every living entity is suffering the spell of Maya in this world. And we are very tiny compared to Brahma chasing after his daughter, or these demons. So, understanding our insignificant position, praying to Lord, Gopinath, mamani vedana shuno, vishtaye dorjana sadakamerata, kichunahi mora guna. So he's saying, my mind is always absorbed in this kind of lusty aspirations. Please kindly lift me up. So we have to pray regularly. On one hand, scientifically see what Maya is offering. Simply imaginations of the mind. And pray to Krishna that although these are imaginations of the mind, still I am chasing after them like a foolish animal, chasing after a mirage. Please lift me up and place me at your lotus feet. So regularly, constantly praying, at the same time understanding through Shastra, that is a sure shot way to rise above Maya. Shri Prabhupada ki, Antarat Srimad Bhagavatam ki.